it's naughty, it's troublesome, it's illegal, you shouldn't do it. All the reasons we're supposed to be creative, yeah? We're not bank managers, we're supposed to be getting into trouble, we're supposed to be naughty. Of course, that's the fun, isn't it?
Beverly Rubik noted that you can recognise a pioneer by the arrows in his back. Whilst Woodrow Wilson observed that if you want to make enemies, then you simply have to try to change something. On the next two episodes of the History of Advertising podcast, we're moving away from the gluttonous, greedy paws of the commercial world to look at noble ads. Namely, those which have tried to engineer social change. Later on, we'll be hearing more from Adland legend Dave Trott and his fun, naughty, and downright illegal campaign to cancel the Third World Debt. But before we get on to that, we're looking at a campaign which is far closer to home. One which was focused on what people get up to in the bedroom.
Most of the stuff, noticeable stuff that I did, certainly was for Health Education Council, the Family Planning Clinic.
In 1970, the reputation of Kramer Saatchi, a tenacious new ad agency, was cemented with a provocative poster campaign for Health Council England. It promoted safe sex. The poster combined a black and white image of a sheepish, heavily pregnant man with the line, "Would you be more careful if it was you that got pregnant?" In order to cast the right face, one who would be relatable enough for the campaign to work, the casting team saw over 50 different men. The idea for the campaign came from Jeremy Sinclair. He recalls what it was like to initially pitch it to Charles Saatchi.
I wrote the line and I had the picture in mind, and I didn't tell him what the picture was. Just gave him the line. And everyone said, "Oh, that's a good line." And so everyone scratched their head for a time thinking, "What's the picture?" And then I said, "Well, originally the picture was a pregnant man." And then he just jumped up and down. That was it. My only hesitation was that it seemed a normal idea to me, but I knew other people had other ideas and they might have thought, "It's a bit strange."
It was not only thought of as strange, but also rather controversial. The ad made headlines across the world when it was released. And there were even questions raised in Parliament about running such a campaign in the government's name. It was a huge success for the client, and such a success for Kramer Saatchi that the agency named its own pub after the campaign. The Pregnant Man Pub, which opened in Chancery Lane in 1993, is still in business today. In 1994, 1 year after the Pregnant Man Pub opened its doors, a very different sort of social change campaign was launched. It was designed to reduce the Third World Debt. Here, Dave Trott recalls how his agency initially got involved.
Oxfam asked what they thought were the top people in advertising to get together for a briefing. I went along and there was about 20 of us. They said another 20 hadn't even bothered coming because it wasn't the account, it was just a briefing on what was happening in the Third World. The main cause of infant mortality in the Third World, 5 million little children every year die in the Third World from lack of care caused by having to repay interest on debts that can't be repaid.
The debts that some Third World countries owe are often so crippling that they are forced to make great sacrifices when it comes to public spending.
If somehow you could make people aware of this, and if somehow you could get people to badger their MPs into cancelling the debt, this would have a better effect than giving money to the Third World, because it would enable them to spend bigger amounts of their own money on their own people and on their own children.
Dave left the Oxfam meeting feeling thoroughly excited by the idea of the project.
I thought this was fantastic. This is what we should be doing. It's what we went to art school for. We didn't just go to art school to sell stuff. We went to art school to actually do exciting propaganda stuff to move people and to actually have an effect. I was the only one who thought that. Everybody else walked away and didn't want to know. So I thought, well, OK, well, I'm really interested, so that means my agency. I can go back there and get my agency interested.
Aside from the kudos of working on something so socially and politically driven, the campaign also brought more tangible benefits to Dave's agency, Gold Greenlee's Trot.
I was getting a lot of people sending me scripts, because we were a hot agency at the time. A lot of people that wanted to be directors, they were asking for scripts. And they were saying, we've got people here that want to be directors, but we need them to film some scripts to prove they're directors. Have you got any scripts that you haven't been able to get made that we could have that this guy could shoot? So I thought, well, instead of them shooting for a pretend product, why don't we actually shoot it for a really great cause, cancelling the third world debt? But why would they do that? And I'm thinking, OK, well, the only reason they do that is you'd be more famous with it if you could win an award for it. So how could you win an award for it? Well, it has to run. So I went to see Julian Neuberger, the media guy. I said, Julian, can you get any of these ads to run? And Julian tried the cinemas, and the big cinemas wouldn't take them because they take bank advertising, and we are anti-banks. But Julian got the Curzon Cinema, the Screen on the Green chain of cinemas. Julian got a lot of little cinemas to agree to take them. So what I now do, I go back to the people who've asked me for a script, and I say, here's a deal. If you want to shoot scripts that have actually run, we'll write scripts specially for you. If you like them, if the cinema likes them, they'll run them. You can then enter them for the award schemes, and your people that you're trying to get off the ground will start by having their first commercial win an award. Yeah? So this has to be better than just shooting some old script that has never run.
Given that there was no money, and nothing in fact but goodwill and a desire to get banks to cancel the third world debt, it was vital that the campaign was run as cheaply as possible.
We were getting everybody to do their bit for free. Tommy threw in the media, today's money, you'd be talking millions. Julian would also go to the newspapers, and the newspapers often have ads pulled at the last minute and they don't know what to run. So he'd say, look, instead of running some other old ad, what if we give you a lot of these blocks of third world debt ads and they sit there, and when you've got a space, we'll give you different sizes, and when you've got a space where you've had an ad pulled at the last minute, you can run one of these. And the newspapers did that. And people were writing to me to ask if they could be part of it as if I was a client. And I wasn't a client, I'm just doing it. There is no client. There's no money, there's no budget, there's no client. Just do it.
In order to just do it, Dave and his team knew there was only one place where they really needed to get their message seen and heard.
One night we used to sit around and have discussions about what should we do. We'd brainstorm it. And we said, where we really need to get the message is inside the banks. We need the banks to feel bad about this. And we need to affect the morale of the people that work in the banks, and we need to get the banks talking about it. But how do you get media inside the banks? You can't. There's no posters, there's no press ads, no TV. There is no media inside the banks. How could we get a message inside the banks? No radio, no nothing. There's stuff we could use as media inside the banks. Paper. Paper money. That's all banks dealing. We could use that as media.
They turned banknotes into campaign materials by printing messages on them, which read, "Stop banks killing children. Cancel the third world debt." It was a great idea, but there was one trifling problem.
It's illegal to print on money. Supposing we print our message on money, what happens? And we found out what happens is, it's illegal, so you have to take the money out of circulation. Now, in order to take it out of circulation, you have to fill in forms in quadruplicate, which goes to four different departments, and they have to fill out forms in quadruplicate. So whatever we write on the money, the bank is reproducing itself 16 times. And all we've got to do is buy a little John Ball printing kit from Ryman's or somewhere, print on our money, there's a nice little white space at the top of £20 notes, and hand it in. And then the banks have to reproduce this inside their own building again and again and again and again. But what's great is people are often coming up to me saying, when I tell them, they say, oh yeah, I've had money with that one. And you find it passes from person to person before it gets anywhere near the banks. You're just getting it into the language, and particularly getting it into the banks and getting the banks to do the job of reproducing it inside itself. Now, I've never heard of any media like that.
So Dave and his team found a way of running an attack ad where the targets of their campaign were doing all the hard work for them. It was a stroke of genius. Join us next time when the genius will continue as we look at the TV ads which were rolled out for the Third World Debt campaign.
Did you know that each year 5 million little children die in the Third World from drinking water polluted with faeces? Now you do know. Are you going to write to your MP?
The History of Advertising podcast was presented by Jack Meggett-Phillips and featured contributions from Jeremy Sinclair and Dave Trott. The programme was produced by Jane Jarvis and Jack Meggett-Phillips. If you're interested in learning more about the ads featured on this programme and the work of the History of Advertising Trust, please visit hatads.org.uk.